God, I want to talk to you today about a subject that I address often, but I address it often because it's important. And there seems to be so much pushback around us that I want to just make sure you understand how much God loves you and how much God is on your side. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God is on my side. God is on my side. Hey, guys in the back, I need my notes. God is on my side. You know, how many know life can sometimes beat us down? Yeah. And we can, I love what Jesus says in John 10:10, because it brings such clarity. I mean, Jesus is so direct sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, always speaking the truth, but there's passages that just are so awesome because they bring such clarity. So Jesus says, Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. And that life isn't just, it's and life more abundantly. One translation says, life to the full. That's what kind of life that God has for us. And we talked a little bit about it Sunday, how God gives. James says he gives liberally without reproach. Amen. That's the character of God. That's who he is. Many times, the perception that we have of God gets twisted because of our parents. Now, I'm not, for as many people are in this room, there's all kinds of degrees of how awesome your parents were. Some of you had wonderful parents. My dad is gone to be with the Lord, but my mom's still on earth. But when I was growing up, my parents were awesome. And yet, even being raised with a great family, there was inconsistencies that I could see in my mom and my dad. Now, some of you have been raised, particularly sometimes with fathers who are incredibly abusive. And so what it can do in reality is it can twist your understanding of who God is. And you start to get a perception of who God is through your parents or through your father. Let me tell you what. Our Heavenly Father is not like our earthly father. He's just not. And so we need to understand that. And we need to renew our mind according to what the Word says about God. Let me remind you. The Bible says, all good things come down from the Father of lights. See, think about it for a minute. What's good in your life? And I'm not saying you don't have challenges. I'm not saying you don't have stuff that you're going through. I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm asking. What good things are going on in your life? Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of great things going on. Amen. Sometimes people get so focused on the negative that they can't even think of the good things. Amen. Amen. And we can get that way. But we're called not to be that way. We're called to look on that which is good. What is honorable, what is praiseworthy. And when you start to focus on that, you'll start to recognize. But Jesus said, God said this, that all these good things, let me tell you why, if there's something good in your life, anything that is good in your life, let me tell you why you have it in your life, because of God. Amen. Amen. And it's interesting because what we have a tendency to do is to only give credit for negative things to God. Hello? So something happens, you know, some catastrophe happens, and we say, oh, you know what? And there's this animosity towards God because, you know what, if God is all powerful, then how come he could have stopped it and he didn't? So it's God's fault. So, well, Pastor, that makes sense. How come he doesn't do that? Let me tell you why. Because God, he is all powerful. And the all-powerful God put two people in the Garden of Eden and said, you choose. Amen. Amen. See, when you take the choice out of it, when you take the choice out of this world, then God becomes a cruel God. And I'm telling you, you don't see that in the Word. You don't see that in the Word. God is a good God. All good things come from him. Jesus Christ said, let me tell you what, Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm the one to give you life, life more abundantly. And that needs to be preached. It needs to preach over and over and over and over again. We're conformed, we're transformed by the renewal of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. We need to remind ourselves, oh my goodness, God is not against us. God is for us. We got to be reminded of this, church. Because we got, you know what? We got Bessie and Frou Frou and, you know what, and Jane and, you know what, and all these people, and they're acting like they know something and something goes wrong and they blame God. I can't tell you how much crazy doctrine, false doctrine, doctrines of demons that I hear in funerals with people who don't know. No, they know. No, they don't know. Let me tell you what. I love y'all. Am I smiling? You don't know. Amen. This is the only thing that we know. Amen. This is the only thing. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's word will never be passed away. You cannot rely on anything. You can't even rely on what you see. Amen. Oh, but the doctor said this. Oh, my goodness. God help us. That's a word of a man. Amen. God's got a testimony, too, about you. God's got some things to say about you. Amen. So, how many know we're gonna? How many would like to go over some of these things today? How many need to be reminded? Man, I do. Amen. I do. Trying to think of. I grew up in a Baptist church, and we sang a lot of hymns in the Baptist church. A lot of good hymns, you know, man. But we used to sing this one song, and it talked about, you know what, tell me the old, old story. Tell it to me over, and I want to hear it over and over and over again. Amen? Come on. How many like to hear good songs you like to hear? You know what song I like to hear? You know what? You know that song by the Archies? Oh, sugar. I like to turn that on. I sing it to my wife. Sugar. Right? Oh, honey, honey. What do I say? I tell her, you are my candy girl. All right. Enough. You didn't know that. You like to sing that song. You know what? But there's good. You know what? But I'll catch myself singing that song over. Man, you know what I like? I like to hear the word of God. It's so, I love to hear it over and over and over again. Church is a wonderful thing because it reminds us of who we are and who God is. And it gives us a perception to go, man, Satan is a liar. Amen. I'm going to spend my whole time on my intro. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm, the 118th Psalm. Listen, if you opened your Bible right in the middle, you know where you turn to? Psalms. But more specifically, if you could turn your Bible right in the middle, you know what you turn yourself to? Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is the middle of the Bible. If you say middle is by chapters. If you say middle by words, I don't know where the middle is. But if it's by chapter, there's an equal amount on this way and an equal amount on that way. And Psalm 118 is right in the middle. So let's turn to Psalm 118. If you don't have your Bibles or if we're going too fast, we have the passages right up here on the screen. And actually, guys in the back, I want to start with verse 1. 118, verse 1. And let's read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, can somebody say amen to this? Amen. Why? For his mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is when you get what you don't, when you don't get what you deserve. How many ever did something wrong? And for some reason, your parents didn't punish you. One time, I was with my brother-in-law, picked him up from the airport. I was just anxious to get home. I love my wife. Sometimes I just, you know what, was anxious to get home, and I was driving too fast, and I was kind of going in between, and I knew it. I don't know what I was thinking. And this cop pulls me over, and he had me. You know what I mean? There was no question. He had me. I thought, oh, I'm getting a ticket for sure. And he comes up, do you know you were going too fast? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I was in a hurry. You know what I mean? Oh, and he got the book out. You know, how many know when he gets the book out? That's not a good sign. And if he starts writing, how many know it's over? So he got the book out. When he got the book out, I was like, ugh. And then all of a sudden, you know what? You know, one out of 12. It wasn't 1 out of 12, but I'm dating myself. But anyway, he hears something, and boom, he says, go slower. Boom, goes back to his car, speeds off. Oh, my, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because what happened? How many know that was mercy? I mean, see, I deserved a ticket, but I didn't get what I deserve. You haven't gotten it yet, amen. Well, I got it that night, and I thank God. And there have been nights that I didn't get that, but that night I did, and I thank God for it. But here's what I'm saying. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his good, for his mercy endures forever. There's not going to be, listen, when you and I get to heaven, you know, we're there for 1,088 years, the 1,089th year. He's going to say, oh, wait a minute, I remember what you did. No, we don't have to worry at the 1,088th year that all of a sudden he's going to change his mind. His mercy endures how long? Forever. We're not going to get what we deserve. Somebody say amen to this. forever we're not going to get what we deserve. Oh, that is good news. Amen. Have you ever done something wrong and you know you did something wrong and you're just kind of waiting for the shoe to drop? Listen, we don't have to wait for the shoe to drop because the shoe ain't going to drop. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. He's not going to change his mind about you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He's not going to change his mind. We don't have to be always looking over our shoulder. Ooh, that's not our God. He is a good God. Amen. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Are you catching this? I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and said to me, and set me on a broad place. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Wow, what a great passage. Amen. Boy, that would be a good passage to read every single day, would it not? How many know there's not a passage in the Bible that wouldn't be good to read every day? But certainly that would be a great one to read every day. God is on your side. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, look what it says, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. See, God is not trying to keep stuff from us. He's absolutely on our side. He's absolutely, absolutely on our side. Number one, write this down. Because God is on our side, he will listen to me when I call. Because he's on my side, here's what he's going to do. He's going to listen to me when I call. Catch it. He's tender to your voice. When I worked in the grocery store, I didn't really mind working in the grocery store. But when we had Shayla, going to work became harder for me because I just didn't like to leave my child. I can't explain it. I just didn't like it anymore. You know what I mean? It just bothered me. You know what I mean? And I couldn't wait till I got home. And every once in a while, Tamara would come down to the store just to say hi to me. How many know grocery stores are so loud? They got all this ringing going on, all the machinery going on. It actually is a very loud place. But I remember, and all the check stands in Monrovia were facing. They were facing north. And I remember, and you know the story, I was always, you know, not always, but many times I was given Quick Check because Quick Check was number one and I was number one. That's not really true, but I think it's true in my mind. And Quick Check was sometimes, many times, the worst thing you could be given. But I used to take my till, and as I was walking down, because it was, you know what, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, I look at all the checkers and say, that's right, I'm number one. But here's what I want you to guess. I'm facing this way, and I can remember when Shayla would come in. How in the world wouldn't you remember? I could hear her before I could see her. Why? Because I'm telling you what, Daddy is real sensitive to that voice. Does that make sense? And I could pick it out. It's just like, oh, Shayla's here. And I wouldn't be like, oh, Shayla's here. Oh, I'm wrong. That's another kid. No, 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 no. There was never a time when I'd go, Shayla was here, that I wouldn't be right. Because I knew my daughter's voice. That's how God is to us. That's how God is. That's how God is to us. Look at that 118. Look at verse 5. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me on a broad place. On a broad place. That word, that broad place, that word broad, it is in the Hebrew, the word is merikab. And here's what it means. It means a place of possibilities. It means a place of opportunities. It means a place of abundance. See, he hears your cry and he picks you up and he puts you in a place of abundance, of opportunities, of potentials. Not in a place that is restricted, that is closed off, that is not, that's not where he places you. Because that's not who your God is. And he's quick to hear your voice. The Bible tells us, remember what James says? You have not, listen to me, you have not, not because God doesn't want you to have. Why? Because we read it, he's a good God. Not because God doesn't want you to have, but because it's as in our teaching of RIPE, read your Bible, invite people, pray, and expect. It's part of RIPE. Expect is critical because God wants us to be expecting that he's going to do good things for us. Why? Here's why. Because God is adamant that we believe in his good character. Does this make sense? Oh, thank you. Does that make sense? So when he hears us, you know what? When we cry out, it's interesting, and I probably pointed this out to you before, but you know what? There's an interesting passage, and it's in the Old Testament, and it's in the story where Moses is going to Pharaoh. And Moses is going to Pharaoh, and he's bringing these plagues because Pharaoh has a hard, 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 hard heart. And so he's bringing plague after plague after plague, and it's the plague with the frogs. And it's such a funny passage because Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to stop the frogs? And he says, tomorrow. Hello? You got frogs in the fridge, you got frogs in the freezer, you got frogs in the oven, you got frogs in your jacuzzi, you got frogs in the pool, in the pond, and you want to wait till tomorrow? Hello? What are you thinking? Exactly, what are you thinking? Can I tell you what? Hey, how many would raise their hand and say, that's absolutely ridiculous? Come on, somebody say, that's absolutely ridiculous. Well, listen, we're absolutely ridiculous. Amen. I mean, no, I was setting you up. We're absolutely ridiculous. Why? Because the Bible says, let me tell you why you don't have. You don't have because you don't ask. See, what's God baiting? Here's what he wants. He wants this relationship with God where we say, hey, Dad, man, I need something. He likes it when we ask. Look, when you see Jesus, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Everybody say never.
Never.
We never, ever, ever see someone coming to Jesus and asking him for something, and Jesus says, you know what? It ain't going to happen. Now, what is the main thing that those people were asking for at the time, back then? The main thing they were asking for was healing of their body. So we have people with leprosy asking for healing. We have people that are blind asking for healing. We have people who can't walk asking for healing. We have all these radical diseases. And not one time. Some say not one time. Does Jesus go, Nope. We just don't see that. We don't see that in the Word. I'm not talking about we don't hear it preached today in America. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? You know, we've got to start teaching the Word of God. Not some philosophy of we need to teach what Jesus did. And Jesus went around doing good. Amen?
Amen.
Actually, let me qualify that, because there was actually one time, not as far as healing, but remember when the two brothers were asking to sit on the right and the left, and mama was getting into that? Amen? Mama was like, oh, look what I want. You know what? I want Jimmy and Johnny. You know what I mean? Remember that? And Jesus did tell them, hey, you don't know what you're asking. Remember that? But can I tell you what God says about his promises? He says, yea and amen. Here's my only point. You know, when did Israel get free? Here's when Israel got free. When they cried out to God. And he delivered them. He's not a respecter of persons. He delivered them the same way he's going to deliver you, with a mighty hand. With a mighty hand. See, you must believe. I'm just telling you what Hebrews says. You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what David said? David said, I think in the 34th Psalm, you know what? The exact same thing. That God delivered me from all my problems. Paul says, yeah, but Paul had some problems. Paul did have some problems. And what did Paul say? See, listen, guys, the Bible doesn't say Christians won't have problems. The Bible says many problems distresses of, you know what, of the saints. But God delivers us out of them all. Amen. What are you going to do with that? I tell you what God wants you to do with that. God wants you to say, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what Paul says? Paul says, I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. James says that rejoice when you go through various trials, understanding that if you go through it with the right attitude, what's going to happen is you're going to become that perfected man. And what that means is mature, able to handle anything. Amen. That doesn't sound like a not delivery to me. See? And, oh, God's too busy. God is not too busy for you. Amen. Amen. He's not too busy for you. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. I make reference to this all the time, but I wanted to turn to it tonight. David writes, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Everybody say, to me. See, God is a relational God. If you cry out, he hears you. Watch this. How great is the sum of them? What? His thoughts. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Let me tell you what. God is thinking about you all the time. All the time. So number one, understand that, you know what, God will listen to you. Number two, understand God's on your side. Because why? Because he'll never let you down. Psalm 20, verse 17. Psalm 20, verse 17. Yeah, not 17. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. See, listen, God's not going to let you down. And what happens is many times we get diverted to think, well, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to figure that out. How many have tried to figure stuff out? And you're going to, try to figure out, oh, I'm going to date this person. I'm going to figure out this. Here's what James says. James says, stop doing that. Stop saying, oh, tomorrow we're going to go in this city. We're going to make a bunch of money. Blah, 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 blah. Here, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, what we need to do is be dependent, understand God won't let us down, but we've got to hear what God is saying to us. We got to hear what he's saying to us. We got to be obedient. Listen, the reason why the boat floated is because Noah built it in the dimensions that God said. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. So we've got to understand that God won't let us down. We need to not trust in chariots. What are chariots and horses represented? They represented the strong armament of Egypt. And it's a word picture to say, hey, there's some countries and they're relying on their strength and their power. But David is writing this and understanding that these Jewish people understood their history. They were instructed by God to teach the deliverance from Egypt to their kids and their grandkids, and they taught it to them. So David understands, they understand this. And he's saying, some people rely on some nations rely on their strength. But let me tell you who we're supposed to rely on. We're supposed to rely on the God, because our God, because he's the one who can deliver us. Amen. And over and over and over in the Old Testament, we have just incredible supernatural deliveries, supernatural strategies that make no sense. You know, walk around for 7 days and then blow a horn and watch the, does that make any sense? Doesn't make any sense. I mean, over and over and over, strategies that make no sense. You know, take your 28,000 and tell the guys, hey guys, you want to go home? Go home. And you know what? Over half of them leave. How many know that might not be a good strategy? The bullets are flying, and tell the guys, hey, if you want to go home and go have a barbecue, go home. And these guys are like, oh, this is a no-brainer. And a bunch of them went home. Then you still got too many, so have a bunch of them go down to the lake and figure out, who the dorkiest. You know what? And so the dorkiest ones, the 300 of the dorkiest ones, he says, I pick you. It's like, what are you doing? Does this make any sense? See, God's not looking to make sense. God is looking for us to trust him. That's what he's looking for. That in the spiritual realm is where the power is. That's where the power is. Listen to me. That's where the power is. I learned a long time ago. You want to live in the abundance that God has for you? Don't look on what you see. Why did I move from Newport Beach to La Puente? Because I knew that the Lord was the blesser. That's what I understood. So when I heard the Holy Spirit say, you know what, move back in with your parents, move back, you know, up to La Puente, you know, go from living and working in Newport Beach to living in La Puente and living and working in Baldwin Park, not that these aren't wonderful cities. How many know Baldwin Park is not as nice as Newport Beach? I'm just saying. Maybe the mayor of Baldwin Park would disagree, but I don't think hardly anybody else will. But see, it's not about that. If I start to lean on that, then I'm going to, you know what? And years later, Tam and I looked at all the blessings of how God moved us from here to there and all the blessings that came forth because I was willing to put my trust in the Lord and not in circumstances and judge it based on what I, watch this, to understand that God had the best for me. See, listen, God can supersede. God is not limited. I mean, are you kidding me? I wouldn't know you. You guys, really, this is the truth. You guys are the biggest blessing in Tamar in our lives ever. It is just the truth. It is. And second place, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to pile on, I'm just saying. And second place is not even close. That's the truth. That is the truth. So we've got to, but see, why am I walking in that abundance? Here's why. Because I believe God won't let me down. Amen. I am convinced that his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. You know, this thought that the commandments of God are burdensome. It's craziness. It's craziness. Oh, God told me I can't do that. Oh my, you can't. You know, I'm not talking to you guys. Now I'm just talking to the Facebook team, okay? Yeah. You know, how many, you know, can you remember when you got so drunk you didn't know where you were or what you did? And you went to work and you were embarrassed because you thought, oh, I hope I didn't do anything embarrassing. And then they started telling you what you did. Again, I know nobody for here. I'm just talking to the camera now. Hello, do you remember that? Amen. Hello. You know what? God is a good God. Number three, because God is on our side, listen to me, he will correct me. What? Wait, Pastor. I think you got off here. You know what I mean? I think your point three is the wrong point. No. This is my point. Point three, because God is on my side, he will correct me and help me to grow. He will correct me and help me to grow. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that correction, at first, you know what? We don't like it. But then here's what it says. It says, but if, everybody say if. But if we will allow it to correct us, then later on, we will reap a wonderful harvest. See, understand the correction of God. You know, I know nobody experienced this. But have you ever had, well, like you did something wrong and your mom just lost it? One time, okay, so I'll tell you a story. How many know I like telling stories? Okay. So I'm in the third grade I don't even know his name. We called him Birdie. But Birdie, we got in trouble, and a bunch of us boys, which hardly ever happened. But we got in trouble, and we had to stay after. I can still see this happening in my mind. It was so funny. So the school bus comes, and the school bus, some of us had to take the bus home because we live far away. Others of us live close enough that we got to walk home. So when the bus came, the teacher, those who had to take the bus, she had to let them go. Does this make sense? The people who live close, we had to stay longer. The bus comes, the after school bus comes, and she's got to let us go. So Birdie jumps up. She says, okay, to us boys, okay, all you guys, who have to take the bus, you're dismissed now. And Birdie, who lived real close, didn't take the spook school bus. He jumped up and said, "I take the bus." And how many know this was back in the day? And that teacher grabbed Birdie. She was freaking out, and she started shaking him. And I can still Birdie just going like this. You had to be there. It was hysterical. But here's my point. Yeah, what is, Pastor, what is your point? Okay. Here's my point. That teacher didn't get in trouble. It was old school. That was like commonplace. Anyway, exactly. You know what I mean? So, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what we do. We think sometimes God is like people. God is not like people. God doesn't lose it. God doesn't, you know what, like a parent who just gets so frustrated and they'll act out and they'll yell and they'll scream and might even sometimes get violent. That's not God. His correction isn't coming from a frustration.
That's right.
It's not coming from there. His correction, let me tell you about God. God is love, 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 love. That's all he is. He corrects, but his correction is because he loves us. He's not trying to keep anything from us except that which will hurt us. You want me to prove it to you? All right, let me prove it to you. How many ever heard God correct them and they didn't want to do what God said? Okay, I see no hands up, but I need somebody honest. And watch this. Now I'm asking, and even though you knew that God didn't want you to do that, you did that anyway. And after you said, that was so, after you paid a heavy price because of that, whatever it was that you did. How many have paid a heavy price? I got my hand up. Listen, watch this. God was trying to save you. Do you see that? His correction is not punitive. It comes from a source of love. And we have got to not lean under to our own understanding. We have got to understand God is a God of incredible tenderness. And all he wants to do is bless us. So when he is correcting us, we have to come up to the reality and say, let me tell you what, even though it goes against what I'm thinking, I'm smart enough to override what I'm thinking, and I'm going to be obedient to what he says. Even though it's counterintuitive, I'm smart enough. I've done this before, and I see how it's going to turn out. So what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to trust in the goodness of God. I'm not going to lean into my understanding. I'm going to defer to God this time. Now, let me tell you, how many have done that with some results? Because I've done the wrong, but I've done the right too. And I tell you what, and even though at first it doesn't seem good, the Bible says it doesn't seem good, but after, here's all I'm saying. God is on your side. And if we would start to understand that, let me tell you what, whose life is going to get better? Our life is going to get better. And yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going to heaven when we die. Yes, praise the Lord. But can I tell you what? God wants for us to start walking in his provision and his wisdom. See, if we walk in God's wisdom, we'll walk in his favor right now. Amen. And we'll start walking in the blessings of obedience right now. And yes, there's some wonderful blessings that God's going to have for us in heaven. Yes, there's some wonderful rewards that we're going to have in heaven. But if we'll start, you know what? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. He's not talking about when we die. Yeah, amen. He's talking about now. Amen. And watch it. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. That's not talking about heaven, guys.
Thank you, Lord.
How many know God has some blessings for us if we'll wake up and stop coming against him and recognizing, man, God's on my side. I'm on his side. I'm going to start doing what he says, and I'm going to start walking in the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Oh, my goodness, you are a good God. Father, we thank you again for your powerful word that refreshes us, reminds us of who you are and who we are. We thank you for all this goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.